is church? And so we began to study the one another verses. And we're moving along in Matthew, watching Jesus teach and train his disciples. He does more training than he does actual teaching. Now, teaching is when you're listening to me here. Training is when you're out there having to be and experience it. That's a quick review of taking us to where we're at. So we're at the verses of Scripture last week that we started where the word faith came into the ministry of Jesus with his disciples. And there are at least five places where he uses experience with them that he's going to teach them about faith. He's going to train them in that faith. So last week we started that. And Jane came to me and said, I have something about faith that she wanted to give a witness and testimony. I didn't forget. And so I'm going to give her a few minutes that we'll jump off of that into where we're going to go today, because the where we're going today is we're going to look at what does worry have to do with faith? Does faith and worry have issues with each other? And we all worry. And we're going to talk about that. And Jane, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Jane Lapp. And about 7 years ago, I started having trouble with my hearing. So we went and we got hearing aids. John bought me hearing aids. And I used them. But I lost the first one. Or the second one, rather. And I bought another one. So after a while, I lost that one. So I was just thinking at the time, God, what are you trying to tell me? But here about 3 weeks ago now it's been, we were watching the show on TV, Supernatural, and we live in a supernatural world, and the man was on there was Jewish, and he was talking all about the healings that happened when he prayed for people and when he talked to people. And I bet that I'm up on the edge of my seat and my faith is growing stronger and stronger. And then he said, and we have a man here that sings in Hebrew over people, and they were healed. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, well, my faith is to the top. And we're sitting there thinking, Oh man, my arthritis is really bad, or this is really bad, Lord. You could hear that. So he prayed, and both hands were up, and the tears were flowing down. And after he was over, I didn't feel anything. But a couple days later, you know what? I could hear. I was totally healed. And the next day, I said to John, go out in the kitchen and turn your back to me and tell me something. And I said, whisper. Just whisper now. And I knew what he said. I knew I was totally healed by God. Amen. On that day. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes. She said something in that experience of her testimony that she said, my faith was like here when I was there listening to this. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we are talking about. What we're looking at is Jesus taught us, and we're going to turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter. They were ahead of me up there. They do a great job. And the 24th verse, and I want to read this for us. We've read it before, but we're going to look at this word faith, how it connects to some issues in life. Jesus has this awesome way to take his disciples, put them in a situation, and they muff it. They don't know what to do with it. And they come back as we read. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these flowers. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you. The context of this is one of the things that Jesus had done. His disciples came to him and said, Master, there was a man over here that has a demon, and he asked to be prayed for. And then we prayed for him, and nothing happened. We couldn't do it. And we looked at this, and Jesus brings the man to himself, and he prays for him, and the demon leaves. And he looks at the disciples and says, you guys have a little faith. That's why nothing happened here. Let's think about that. I'm not here to tell you that you can have Jane's experience this afternoon, or that you're going to have this or going to have that. But what we're here today to find out is with one another, is faith that important? Why is it important? What goes on in faith? And so we're going to look at faith in the next few weeks. One has to do with worry today. The other will have to do with corporate faith. That's an interesting one. The other has to do with fear and faith and doubt and faith and how all of that fits together. And the part of this is not in any way whatsoever to point a finger and to say, well, you don't have faith. But Jesus looked at them and said, guys, when they asked the question, why couldn't we do this? What is wrong? He said, your faith is lacking. But he said, listen, you can have more than this. He told them, you can have more. You can have enough faith that you'll be shocked at what can be done. You could have faith that even you'll experience the impossible in your personal life. And so we've looked at this. We go on. Now, what does this mean? How does this faith and worry work? Well, let's think about worry a little bit. I'm sure I don't need to tell you all or ask you all if you've ever worried or if you do worry. I know what it's like to worry. There's two types. There's the one that's instant, the kind of quick worry that comes and something happens and it's over and gone. Then there's the other kind that day by day, you're struck by worry. You're worried about this. You're worried about that. You're constantly worried. I'll give you an example of when I learned what the quick worry is. And that is when I was young and started pastoring, I was very unable to go and stand in front of a congregation or group of people and not get very worried that I would end up throwing up. Not in front of them, but before I went out. God has a sense of humor. He says in the Bible that God sits in heaven and laughs. I know he laughed at this one. I got invited to come to the YMCA to a breakfast of men. There were probably 200 to 300 people. And I walk in, and they take me. They said, Reverend Andrew, come here. They called you Reverend at times, but that's not. But anyways, I had to sit up on an elevated platform, and guess what was first? Food. And I'm sitting there going, how am I going to do this? I can't do this. I can't. The Lord said, we're going to do something today with you, and you're going to discover something in me. You're going to be able to eat some of this food. Now, I didn't eat a lot. I ate some. I wasn't too far. And I was fine. And from that day on, it was good. Now, don't worry. I don't throw up anymore when I come here. But what I saw was that was what's called an instantaneous example of worry changing. But there's a type of worry that's day by day that can permeate you about something. And the passage that I read this morning is not about just a specific issue that you face. It's about day-to-day life. Because when he says, when you seek after what you seek after, food, clothing, whatever it's about, that is an example of your living day-by-day experiences. Food is important to us. Clothes is important to us. What we earn is important to us. These are day-to-day. Jesus isn't talking about the one-time faith moment, because we are looking at the Word and seeing that faith grows. Faith is not an instantaneous explosion. When you listen to Jane, she said, here's where we started. I'm on the end of my seat by the time this happens, and my faith was here. Her faith was growing in that moment of time. Our faith can grow. How can it grow? By learning to have an intimate relationship to God. And the thing we want to realize is the word faith is so important to God. Do you know the word faith? I like trivia. Don't worry, I can't remember it after I do it, so I'm not good at the game. But faith is used over 528 times in the Bible. And there are 31,013 verses in the Bible. So someday you're in an elevator and you have somebody beside you. And there are people standing there. You can say to your friend, hey, do you know how many verses are in the Bible? You know, what do you say in an elevator? That's called elevator talk. You'll get there. Chapters, there's 1,189 chapters. Now, 528 times it references faith. And of the number of chapters there are, I divided it into, and I found out basically every 2.25 chapters, God talks about faith. Now, it doesn't work just that way, verse chapter by chapter, but that is so important. If he was not seeing it important, he would, in any way whatsoever, not speak to it like he does. And he brings it up, and he brings it up, over and over and over, about faith. And the whole Old Testament is about that. People putting their trust in God. Now I'm going to take and make a change from the word faith to trust. And what I want you to think about is this. Can you believe in God? Can you trust God? In God. This is what it's all about. Now, how does this grow to the point that the impossible may happen to us? That was impossible. It didn't happen because she was reading 35 verses of scripture every day this week. It was a moment of time that something was happening and her faith was growing at that moment. Faith can grow. The greatest way it grows is by having an ongoing conversation intimately with God. Amen. Connecting with God is not just going to church, doing a few things that look spiritual, or whatever it might be. Being a Christian is about a relationship. And God is a God of relationships. And God talks to people. Recently, there was this heretic, this person from the pit, who put down our vice president because he had the tendency, he said, I pray and ask God to speak to me. Boy, was he secured for that one. He was ripped apart because of that. He's insane. Anybody who would say God speaks to you is insane. That's what was said on national television. Well, that's not true. Because the whole way through the Bible, God is talking to people. You know, it starts in Genesis. When he creates Adam and Eve, they're living their life, and they're intimate with God. And before the fall, and when the fall came, and they violated what God said, the Bible says that they heard God walking in the garden. Now, you don't know that somebody's walking unless you have a relationship. He talked with them. They talked with him. They had this relationship together. We can have a faith growth by what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith grows as you set yourself in a place with the Word of God. You begin to read it over and over and over. And you begin to, the more you read it, you see things in it that you didn't see the first time you read it. You go, I don't get that. No, you don't. Read it 20 times. And the 23rd time, you're going to go, wow, look at this. Faith comes by hearing, meaning your faith can grow by hearing God's Word. And that hearing comes from you reading God's Word. Someone told me lately that they began to read the Word of God out loud, that it goes to their ears. We can nurture that faith. And the first way we do it is, number one, by the Word of God in our lives. This is his conversation with us. These are his words. 31,000 words from God. The next thing is then being able to talk to him, and I emphasize that first. Having a relationship where you can talk to God. And believe it or not, God answers, and he responds. A living relationship with a God who leads us. And you say, well, where do you get that in the Word of God? The Bible says that when we have Jesus Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit comes into us. And when the Holy Spirit comes into you, the Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you into all truth. Step by step, stay in step with him, it says. So he's there, wants to talk. How do I know I'm in step? Because I'm listening. And we've been learning over the last 2 years of what it is to day by day walk in the Spirit. Day by day to trust God that he can lead you into situations that you didn't even plan to happen. And you respond to him. And you do this and you think to yourself, why am I walking across this parking lot when I was going that way? And as you walk across, these are stories we've heard in here. Walk across the parking lot, here comes someone to you and asks a question that you didn't even know that person was going to do that. But you had this leading to go there. Now, don't get wacky with this. The problem with this whole thing is people can get very wacky. They can take this to the place where they're weird. Or they can take this to the place that you think you know everything God says about everything. I'll give you an example. I knew of a lady many, many years ago who trusted God, who believed the Holy Spirit would lead. They needed a house, and she said, God told me that the house he's going to give us has a red door. Okay. They called one day and said, guess what? We got a new house. I drove up. It was green. The door wasn't red. Now, we didn't talk about that because that wasn't the issue at that point. But the point of it was is there will be a result in our lives by faith life. God will lead you and guide you. Talk to him. Think about this. How much have you talked to God? And I'm not just talking about praying. I'm just talking to God, having a conversation with him. See what he has to say. Listen to him. He'll never tell you anything that's contrary to the Word of God. That's the first thing. But he will speak to us. And he will lead and guide us. That's what a relationship is about. We men, who are fantastic in relationships, have never heard our wives say to us, you talk too much. Or, you tell me too many things. Man after man after man that I know is opposite of that. There are a few examples that I know of that the wife would actually say, he talks more than I could ever imagine. But most of us don't talk to our spouses. And when we don't talk to our spouses, the relationship does not grow. Hey guys, I've been married 40-some years, and I'm still trying to learn how to really do that. Because we're made differently, and thus talking about stuff in here is not easy. But we can talk about other stuff out there. Point is this. If I want a good relationship with my wife, I've needed to learn to be able to talk to her. I've not done very well at that over the years because my tendency is to not do that. Not because she can't listen or do things, but just because I don't want to talk about it. But the relationship will not grow. Our relationship to God does not grow just because we love him. It grows because we learn to relate to him intimately. God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. Worry is an experience where you become overly concerned, uneasy, overly concerned about a situation or a problem. When you worry excessively, over and over and over, you're worried about something. And the worry and the worry and the worry continues. And you know there's results physically of the worry? Our appetite, we maybe can't eat, you maybe can't sleep. And there's a whole list of things that could happen to us. Our relationships fail. Job performance may fail. And so what do we do with that? Jesus said, guys, stop worrying. Well, okay, Jesus, but how do I do this? Have faith. Grow your faith. Well, how do we grow it? By being in a relationship with me. Because he takes them then from that point, day by day, to show them that they can trust in him. We're started as the transfiguration when Jesus goes with three of his disciples up on a hill and he comes transformed in front of them. This is the moment when he shows them he is God. He is perfectly God and perfectly man. And he reveals that to them at that moment of time. And he is saying that I am God. Trust me. Trust me. So when you feel these words that come and say, you know, you failed. You really messed up last week. You're not worth it. You know, you do this or you did that. Trust him. Because what he has to say is I've fearfully and wonderfully made you, that you are a new creation in Christ, and that the old has passed away. Now, I don't know that unless I read. And you might say, well, what's that? That's what God is saying to us. I just want to challenge you to think about talking to God. Just talk to him. See what happens. If you've not done that, try it. If you have done it, continue to do it. And don't do it in a context of always saying, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Just talk to him in a relationship type. Now, for we men, guys, that's not easy. But God wants us to know that you can talk with him. And you can walk with him. And you can listen to what he has to say. His Holy Spirit, the greatest joy that we're finding in our lives, is having that walk, and it's an adventure, and it's exciting. Christianity was never made to be boring and dull. And we don't need to try and take church and make it more exciting because it seems boring and dull to all of us. But our Christian life can be full of excitement and surprise. Just like Jane was, and she told me about, I said, I want you to share this in the beginning. Just like Jane started to watch that program, never at all watched it to get healed. But in that process, something grew in her in a moment of time, and she had a healing. Now, does that mean everybody that heard that man was healed? I don't know. But the point of it was, is at a moment of time, they had were led to watch this program. And they watched it. And their life, her life changed because of it. You have divine appointments. You're here today because of a divine appointment. You're not here just because, oh, well, somebody talked me into coming, or I come every week and I'm faithful and I don't ever miss, or whatever, and I'm not sick. You have a divine appointment here today with God. Not just with us, but with God himself. That's why you're here, to be nurtured and encouraged in this issue of faith. Look, food, clothing, money. He said, don't focus on that. Focus on the kingdom of God. That's what you focus on. This stuff will take care of itself. How it takes care of itself, I have no idea. With each of us, it's different. But when we focus on the kingdom of God, and we're into the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that's where our hearts are, that's where our minds are, and how do I live this, that God is the king of my life, and I let him know that. And when I fail, I tell him I failed. We're not hypocrites when we realize and admit we fail. It's when you pretend you don't fail. So when we're in a relationship to God, we can be with him, and we can just talk to him about where we're at and what's going on and everything that's in our lives freely, and seek his first, his kingdom. Seek it first. The money, the clothes, and all those things that are day by day, everyday experiences that we face all through life. They're not just momentary, but they're everyday. He uses that to say, every day of your life, you're going to face things. Now, take and focus on me. Jesus. Focus on him. Begin to think like that. Ask him. Talk to him. Do it. Okay, I said that enough. I'm getting redundant. I don't want to be redundant to try to convince you of something, but encouraging. And Jesus said with them, listen, you do not need to live in this life full of worry. Trust me. Trust me. God never lied. He's upheld every promise that he ever gave. He does not change his mind. And that's the one you can put all of your trust in. Yes. He will never, ever fail you. That's what the Bible's all about. And I close in a few minutes with this story. In the Bible, there's a prophet named Elijah. He's got himself in a little bit of hot water with the pagan queen and all that sort of thing. And there's prophets there that are pagan and all that stuff. And so they're going to have a battle one day. And Elijah says, okay, let's battle and see whose God is God. And so he says, let's do something. Let's have fire. We'll take and build these altars of wood. Let's build fire and pile the wood up. You build yours, and then you ask God to bring it to make it work. Make the fire come down. And so they're praying, and they're doing their thing, and they're yelling and carrying on and everything else, and nothing's happening. He looks at them, and he says, what's wrong? Is your God asleep? Is he visiting somewhere else? This is a little bit of a paraphrase, but it's right. He says, Where is he? And after he goes through that, it's my turn. Hey, guys, bring some water. Bring barrels of water and pour in this wood. This is as illogical as anything you could ever do. They poured on. And he asked God, bring fire. Poof! The thing explodes. Now, that's what a minute of faith. But let's see how human men can be. He gets himself now in hot water with the queen. And she says, I want that man killed. He gets a hold. Now, this is the guy that saw this happen. What's he do? He runs, finds a cave, goes to the back of the cave, and he's upset because God has done this. He's in a place of doubt and questioning. And he basically says, why have you done this to me? Here's this man of great faith. You think he would have any issue standing against the queen and all who wants to kill him? Nah. But he does, because he's a human. And in our place of human life, we will have moments where we're faced with something and it's like, oh, this is not good. I like that. That was great. This is terrible. I'm all alone in this black, dark room, this cave. I can't get further in. The Bible says this. He went to try to listen to God, and it said he heard the still, small voice of God. God's voice is small. It's still in a place of peace, and it's his word that comes. He needed to get himself settled before God and just listen to him. Point of this, you can have great faith in a moment, be facing another situation, and all of a sudden, you're way down here. And you're going, what's going on? He says, stop. Stop. Listen to me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you, Lord, that I know we all worry. We can all worry. And we can have those moments of worry that are short-lived, that stir us to study better in a test or work a little harder at something we're doing, but that comes and goes. But this day-to-day life that we live, Lord, this day-to-day when we look around ourselves, help us, Holy Spirit, to turn our eyes away from this daily life, which we know we have to do stuff. We have to work, we have to pay bills, we have to eat, we have to do all these things, but that you want us to focus on you. And I pray that we will. And I thank you most of all that when we focus on you, you will not come and condemn us. Convict me, yes. What I'm doing is wrong. And I can deal with that properly. Condemn me, no. Because there's no condemnation to us or who are in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to grow in this. Help us to, maybe there are those here this morning who've never even thought about talking to God much. And I pray that they'll be stirred and encouraged. And there's those who've tried it and did it and saw things happen, but it's kind of a hit and miss deal. But Lord, it can become a daily life for them. And those that are living like that, that they're not perfect in their listening to you. They have their moments. We all have our human moments. But that they can even grow themselves in being led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for a life that can be a life of joy, with one another, experiencing the faith that we can have. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Kirsten.